Welcome back, friends. You're still tuned in to Gloriously Ordinary with myself, Pinky Naika. Can you believe we've made it past the second Wednesday, or the third Wednesday, rather, of the month of June? So our halfway mark is gone. And of course, true to the traditions of Wednesdays here on Gloriously Ordinary, we get to sit in with Dr. Anton Janse van Rensburg in the studio with us. And he is a practicing medical doctor from Pretoria with 25 years of experience as an integrative practitioner. Besides his MBCHB degree, he has a master's degree in applied human nutrition and is a trained metal toxicologist. Dr. Anton has a passion for teaching, and besides having authored and co-authored two books, he presents on a variety of platforms, including continuing professional development courses in the fields of the microbiome and the application of medicinal plants and noble metals. It's such a joy to have him with us this afternoon on our third week talking about the diseases of winter. Dr. Anton, hello, welcome, and please, would you give us a recap on what we spoke about last week?
Hello, Pinky. It's good to be back in the studio, and good afternoon to your listeners. All right, so this is week three, so we're going to quickly jump back and have a look at the pillars, the three pillars that I've developed to look at how to have a stronger immune system, or an ability to prevent and then eventually treat infections. Pillar one, special disease fighting substances. Pillar two, life-saving nutrition. Pillar three, immune boosting habits. And we briefly spoke in week one how you can use a quality silver product to spray in your nose, and you can spray it in your throat. And you can even drink a small amount of that quality silver product. And should you get ill, which happens to many of us, you can nebulize 5 milliliters of a quality silver product 3 times a day. When I say quality, engage. Remember, guys, I want you to engage with manufacturers. Let them show you their pharmacy council registration. Let them even show you some research. We need companies in the natural health world to spend money on research. And then in week two, okay, we had a very fun time in week two. We spoke about that lovely scripture in Malachi 4 about the Son of Righteousness, which will rise with healing in his wings, okay, which refers to Jesus, but he uses the word S-U-N. And we spoke about sunshine and how sunshine helps us to make vitamin D and melatonin and serotonin and boosts your white blood cells. Your white blood cells literally are craving that sunlight. And that's what we did in the previous sessions.
Thank you for that, Dr. Anton. I am curious to hear what components of the three pillars we are dealing with today. Can we dive into that?
Right. So today we are going to look solely at the pillar of nutrition, and we're going to look at bovine dairy or cow's milk products, and we're going to look at dehydration.
Dehydration? But why dehydration? We're all going to the toilet more often, so surely we're doing well with our fluid intake.
Right. So that is a very good question. And my answer to that is biltong. Think about biltong. When do hunters make their biltong without needing special cupboards to do it? They do it in winter, because winter air is dry.
Huh.
Right, so all of us are little pieces of biltong walking around. No, I'm just kidding. We're just more exposed to it. So, okay, so firstly, you go to the loo more, you urinate more. That's very important to understand. So you're losing water because it's cold. Then secondly, you have lower thirst sensation in winter. So you need to be more aware of your fluid intake, because it's very easy to have reduced fluid intake. And then we have dry air, like I've explained now, which can draw fluid from our bodies. We also are inhaling that dry air, and that air is cold at the same time. So now your body has the responsibility to warm up the air and humidify the air. So now there's an action that has to take place in your lungs that which does not take place in summer. We also wear layered clothing, and you actually do lose water under the clothing. You're just not so much aware of it. And so, which then makes us slightly more dehydrated in winter.
Wow. Sure, I never knew that. But how does being dehydrated as a concept affect our immune system?
Okay, it actually has a profound effect on the immune system, Pinky. So I usually use the concept of flying overseas. Many people, when they come back from a long overseas flight, will tell you, "Ooh, you know what? There was obviously someone with something on the airplane, and they shared that virus via the air conditioner." And you know what? They filter that air so well. It wasn't the other people. It was you. You sat in an airtight container with air conditioners that dropped the humidity very low, and you dehydrated very nicely. And so you had impaired immune ability, and this is how it happened. Firstly, your mucosa, or the first layer of cells on the inside of your airway, is called the mucosa. And that barrier is impaired when you are not hydrated well enough. Then secondly, you've got these tiny little hairs inside your airways, and those hairs don't function that well anymore, and they're very important for your immune function. And then there is the immune function inside fluids, like your lymphatic fluids cannot become dehydrated because you have white blood cells that need to be able to move around there. You've got white blood cells that have to move inside your bloodstream. You've got an inflammatory response that needs to function properly. And if you don't have enough fluid in your system, that cannot happen. And then you need to produce enough saliva, because saliva is your own superpower that contains antimicrobial proteins and enzymes.
Sure. That
will manage bacterial and viral populations in your mouth and your throat. So you need to be hydrated to have a healthy functioning immune system.
Sure. It sounds like such a process, like one thing spills into the next and the next and the next. It makes me wonder, what if someone drinks 4 to 6 cups of coffee per day? I'm asking for a friend. It's not personal.
So it's a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's
a friend of mine.
Hopefully this friend is listening to this broadcast, so you'll maybe just alert them. So coffee gets quite a bad rap on a regular basis, and actually drinking 4 to 6 cups of coffee a day actually can have a health-inducing benefit. Can you believe it? So we've seen from population-based research that if you drink a good cup of coffee, this is now bean to cup, where, you know, or coffee that was recently grinded. This is very ground coffee, very important, that there's a lot of antioxidants that come from that. And also, yes, coffee will make you run to the loo a bit more, but the loss, you're not going to pee-pee out or pee out the entire cup of fluid that you consume. So it does contribute a little bit, actually reasonably. And we shouldn't be too worried about the dehydrative effect of coffee. But I do recommend my patients, for every cup of coffee, have a half a glass of water somewhere in between your cups of coffee. But drink a good cup of coffee. So, but now here's a question. Okay, this is very important. People always wonder, how much should I be drinking? And I sometimes, you know, meet people after my webinars and, well, seminars, I mean to say, where, you know, I meet this 45-kilogram tiny lady who drinks 4 liters of water a day, and she's super excited about it, but she's taking too much. So how much water should we be drinking? Now, firstly, thirst is reasonably okay to help you decide how much water you should be drinking. But thirst is also dangerous, because in winter, I just said, you know, your thirst, you're not always going to know, am I thirsty?
Yeah.
Look at the color of your urine. If it's like super dark and you have to like pull back your head because the smell is so strong, yes, maybe you are slightly dehydrated, unless you are drinking high-dose vitamin B6, which has benefits actually. But then the B6 is going to make your urine smell a bit. Okay.
Sure.
So then the formula is, take your weight times 3. It's as simple as that. All right. So if a 100-kilogram male wants to work it out, 100 times 3 is 300. Add a zero, 3,000 milliliters a day.
Huh.
It's just times 3. If your child weighs 40 kilograms, 3 times 4, 120, 1.2 liters a day.
Huh.
We're just playing around with the decimals and the zeros here. Okay. And that's how you work it out, and that's my recommendation. Then in wintertime, work out your cups of tea and your cups of coffee, and get more or less to the number that you would need per day.
Amazing. That is such a practical way of looking at it. Thank you. I've never known that. This is why I love having you in studio with me. But Dr. Anton, at the start of our show, you mentioned cow's milk. I feel like you didn't linger on that a bit. How does that have anything to do with infections, as I thought that we should be drinking milk for our health?
Okay, so this is a little bit of a controversial topic, so hold on to your seat wherever you are sitting, or, you know, balance yourself wherever you are standing.
I'm balanced.
So bovine, and I'm using the word bovine because that refers to cows. Cow's milk is a bit of a complicated story because we know that cow's milk contains more allergens than other milks, like goat's milk and like sheep's milk. Okay, and that humans can respond negatively to those allergens. Now, I mean, that's 10 allergens that are in cow's milk. Only one of them is the lactose, because I sometimes see the lactose-free milk in the shops, and I think to myself, but what about the other nine?
Sure.
So maybe the message here is more specifically for people that find that they do have a response to the milk. So you will know. You drink a little bit of milk, and one teaspoon is enough for people that are sensitive, and you have slightly thicker slime. Or you're sitting with this constant post-nasal drip 12 months of the year. Wake up with a sore throat in the morning because your sinuses are dripping into the back of your throat. If you have not completely eliminated bovine dairy, and that includes cheese and yogurt, from your diet, you will not know if it's the dairy that's driving this constant reaction in your sinuses. But then, if you are that person, and I mean, you could also, you know, be that person because you get a cold and flu every 3 weeks. Okay, so I know patients like that.
Yes.
And it's changed their lives. In my 25 years as a medical practitioner, people who get these repetitive infections, airway infections, the first thing I do is just, I'm sorry, you have to find a substitute. But if you are that person, then do an elimination. Just try. Now, 2024, man, lucky time to be alive, because we have so many solutions. We have so many
options.
I mean, now there's, I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, you were lucky to find one milk substitute that tasted reasonably okay in the past. Now we have almond milk, macadamia milk. I mean, I even saw someone trying to make a cashew milk the other day. I mean, they're doing all these types of things, but the common ones are almond and macadamia milk.
Yeah.
You can buy goat's milk at most supermarkets. Obviously, winter, the goat's milk drops a bit. But you should experiment with something else and see if this helps you, because the guys who are listening now, you know who you are by now. Now you're nodding and you're making notes. you've hopefully pulled your car off the road if you're in your car. You need to eliminate all of it. Rather switch to coconut yogurt or soya yogurt, or when it comes to cheese, it becomes difficult. You could try the goat's milk cheeses. They're slightly more flavorful, in my opinion. And you could try goat's milk. I know the super allergic people may even respond to the goat's milk negatively as well. But just do the experiment. And then, last word on milk in general, is there is interesting research that shows that people who have access to raw milk, it's a very interesting study that was done in England in a rural town, where they found that the children in that school who were living on farms and who were drinking the most milk of everybody had the least allergies.
Huh.
And they were like, but hang on a minute, the second group who have the most allergies were also drinking lots of milk, but they were drinking store-bought milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they found that raw milk on the farms have a health-inducing benefit and more of a modulating effect on the immune system, which in the hyperallergic person, I'm sorry, it's not going to help you. Okay, because the milk still contains those allergens, but the raw milk will help with your modulation of your immune system. But you have to be careful. Now, you can't just buy raw milk from every person that sells it, because we started pasteurization for a very good reason, and that was to prevent diseases.
Sure.
So if you're going to buy, go the raw milk route. Now, here in Pretoria, we've got some dairies that have been doing it for a long time. They're experts at it. They test for those diseases. But this, then, is my next tip on food, is some people who are listening to this may have to do an elimination diet.
Sure. Dr. Anton, I won't lie, I feel a little bit fetched. Fetched is what young people these days say when they feel like they've been convicted of something. And it's always so insightful. So good for us. Thank you. Thank you for making the time to talk to us. I feel like we could go on and on, but I know in the interest of time and limits, I have to respect and say to our listeners, if you would like to hear more or just follow Dr. Anton's work, you can visit his website at www.dranton.co.za. Or if you have any questions regarding today's conversation, please do not hesitate to send them through to our WhatsApp line here on Impact Radio, 071-364-0376. Join us again next week, same time, same place, as we continue to talk about health with Dr. Anton. Thank you so much.